Welcome to First Baptist Church this morning. Please stand and join me in a call to worship. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Come and see what God has done, how wonderful is God's grace. Please join me in singing the song of worship, number 553, Morning of Birthday.
Thank you.
together for worship. I was just mentioning before the service that we complained about how long it took for spring to come. And when we were doing it, we said, when summer gets here, we'll complain about heat. I guess it's time to start complaining. But we're glad we're here, and it's wonderful to be together at the Lord's house on a beautiful June Sunday. Those of you who have items for the newsletter, the deadline is today, be aware of that. We look forward to next Sunday when we are going to have our prayer service and mission celebration. It's going to be at 6:30, and we're going to have a pizza dinner at 6 o'clock, and we're going to have our, you said it right there, 6 o'clock. Our kickoff to our summer prayer group series 2. And so we look forward to that time and ask that you come and join us. It will be a time of fellowship, it will be a time of commitment and dedication, and a time of prayer. We will also have prayer services in July and in August. And I think you can see that it will be July 8th, which is a Sunday, July 23rd, which is a Monday, and August 5th, which is back on Sunday evening again. Also, on June 29th, the American Baptist Center is sponsoring an invitation to go see a Clippers baseball game. We've got a sign up sheet out here in the gathering space. If you would like to go to that game, please sign up. Because this week I'm going to buy a ticket, so this is the last Sunday. I suppose I might not do it tomorrow. Somebody called me tomorrow and said, I don't know. We can still make it work so that we can all sit together. Our mission emphasis for this month is, of course, the one great hour of serving, the one great hour of sharing. You have, of course, an insert that you can read that reminds you of the good work it does. And as we think about the disaster relief and helping people around the world, really, who have been victims of accidents and other disasters, we encourage you to prayerfully give to this offering. Are those all the announcements? Happy Father's Day. My son came all the way from Sioux City, Iowa. That was a long time. I very much appreciate him coming, spending some time with me on this Father's Day. We have an opportunity to offer, to make some offerings to the Tools of Hope, which goes to the end of the Church World Service. Many of you have already taken the opportunity to sign an honorarium or a memorial and to put an offering on our blanket. But we are going to give you a chance, if you have not done that, to do that now. And so I invite you to come and honor your fathers.
Under every kind of earth will live,
in the shade of the branches with that winged creature of every kind. All the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree, I make high the low tree. I dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken, I will accomplish it. May God be blessed to the reading and hearing of the word. Please stand and sing a song of praise, number 55, for the beauty of the earth.
Thank you.
David will come and lead us in the children's message.
Morning. So I have here mustard seed. And so So the reason I brought mustard seeds is that in the Bible story that we'll hear later, Jesus tells a parable about the mustard seed and how even though these seeds are extremely tiny, they grow up to become the greatest of the shrubs. And so they produce these large branches so that all the birds are able to sit on them. And so I brought these just as a visual reminder that God can take the smallest thing, such as a mustard seed, and use it to create the greatest of its kind. And so I just want to remind you that even though you are at this point at a young age, God is growing up to become something great. Okay, so let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for all that you have given us, all that you provided. Lord, take the smallest of these, the smallest of our seeds, and grow them so that we can become great and used for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you all. Shall we also remember the pray of our country, its leaders,
Father, our grateful to be here today. This is a grand and glorious day, and we are thankful to be a part of it. We are thankful for the lives that you have given to us, because we have known such wonderful things. We have known friendships. We have known relationships and families. We have known professional success. We've been given great opportunities for education. And we've lived in a world that has provided us many good things and with pleasure. We are also thankful that we can move forward to eternal life, which makes everything we have known here in this life seem small. We pray that you would instill in us a great hope to grow our faith. And because of that hope, and because of that faith, we pray that you would help us become better, more loving and kind, more gracious and compassionate, more forgiving. We pray that you would help us to look beyond our own needs to the needs of others, that you would show us the ways in which we have been gifted to help meet those needs. We ask for forgiveness, for we acknowledge how far short we fall. And we thank you for your mercy and grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our song of meditation this morning is number 58. This is My Father's World. Come stand together and sing.
He also said, the kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground, and would sleep and rise night or day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in its head. But when the grain is ripe, and once he goes in with the sickle, because the harvest has come. He also said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the word.
Spring.
what there is an urgency to the noise that comes from the trees at this time of the year. I attribute it to the presence of newly hatched young. I guess I could be wrong, but it doesn't seem like I'm being serenaded as I walk by. It seems like I'm being screamed at. Sometimes I notice the sensation of the same bird screaming, and it seems like it follows me, hopping from tree to tree, warning me not to come close. Those are the birds of the trees. I have to say also that the geese are particular at this time of year. Usually the ducks will just walk away from you when you walk by. But at this time of the year, the geese stand in your way, and they ruffle their feathers, and they make an interesting sound that I don't quite there. But personally, it causes me to cross over to the other side of the street and go around. It's no wonder that Ezekiel and Jesus and other religious thinkers have these trees as illustrations for various things involving the spiritual life. All my life, it seems like I've been aware of the parable of the mustard seed, perhaps because the story given in children's sermons like the blessed day. Maybe we might even take this when Jesus told this parable when he was giving the children's sermon. And from time to time, I have been told that the children's sermons are better than the actual sermon was. And I don't know what that says. Maybe that says that in the actual sermons, preachers try to outsmart themselves. Or, conversely, maybe it says something about the level of the congregation. But I wasn't aware that Ezekiel had made a similar statement and told a similar story. I've read the book of Ezekiel, but I guess this is just a way of saying, you don't want to read the Bible one time and say, well, I've done it. It's done for good, and I don't have to worry about it anymore. Because every time you read the Bible, you see something new in it. And I suppose that's true of other books. But with the Bible in particular, we offer this suggestion. Keep reading it. This is what the Lord said. I myself will take a shoot from the very top of the cedar and will plant it. And it will produce branches and bear fruit and become a splendid cedar. And can't help himself but to say that birds of every kind will nest in it. It will find shelter in the shade of its branches. And at that point, it sounds a lot like Jesus in this parable of the mustard seed. He asked the question, what will we say about the kingdom of God? And his answer is like the mustard seed because it's very small and it turns into something very big. Grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants. Its branches are big enough that the birds of the air come and perch in the shade. I suppose the first thing that we notice about this is that it's a parable about the size of things. Something small turning into something big. But it's more than that. Doesn't just grow up and become a bigger seed. Like a butterfly from the caterpillar, it turns into something quite different than the seed. I would like this. And part of what our message for this morning is just to consider at this point that life is very often like this. We start a project. We get married and have children. We join a group. Maybe that's just starting out. Maybe it's a church. Maybe it's a club. But whatever it is, it becomes something bigger. But also, it becomes something different than what it started out. The spiritual life is like this. And this is a little bit of a different way of looking at it. We're not just seeing the things in our lives that we can notice, like trees growing, and say that this is an illustration of life. This is also a parable about the kingdom of God. It points us beyond. It tells us to look at the world as we apprehend it and recognize that that is just a small seed compared to what the kingdom of God has become. For a moment, we'll talk about this life. Because it is a parable about life. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that life is not more than food. Is the body not more than clothing? And he even uses the birds themselves as illustrations of the way God takes care of us when he says, consider the birds. The way God takes care of them. And we are such infinite more important than they are. Whenever we see a dynamic play out in our lives, a guardian angel. Whenever something that becomes a challenge or a problem for us turns into a solution and we say God has taken care of us. Whenever we look at our own lives and we see how much more we have become than what we planned and what we thought, we are meant not just to say that in this life small things turn into big things. Things of one kind turn into things of better kind. We are meant to also look beyond into the eternal. Because every time we want something like this happens, we are being reminded of what is coming. What is in common. Sometimes we just need the encouragement to know that struggles in this life are going to work out. That if we trust God, God will turn our problems into great solutions and into great blessings. Jesus, when he says this is a parable about the kingdom of God, is also pointing beyond that. Tell us that this life itself is only an infinitely small seed compared to the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus was alive, he used the illustration of a mustard seed. Because of science, we have an even more extreme illustration. Scientists tell us, and of course, I don't know if they're right. I wasn't there. But they tell us that somewhere around 4 billion years ago, all life on Earth proceeded from a single cell that began to divide. Many Christians believe that the implications of the story in Genesis mean that creation began with complex, fully developed organisms, and so they see a conflict with what science is telling them. And I'm not criticizing either of you, I'm more saying this, that the prevalent scientific understanding of life intensifies the meaning of this parable. Because you see, that single cell was microscopic, infinitely smaller than a mustard seed. Something you can't even hold in your hand, but it turns into everything else. Not just the trees, but the whole vast array of Discovery Channel topics. Living things in the depths of the oceans, and in the Arctic regions, and in the mountains, and in the rivers, and human life in all its forms. It's amazing, really, that something so small something so big. Let me suggest that we are meant to have our notions about life challenged a bit by the children's sermon that Jesus told. I propose that some people don't come to church to have their notions about life challenged. They come to church to have their notions about life confirmed. Sometimes that means church can be challenging in itself, because while at times we are affirmed, at other times we're troubled. this parable tells us that life is more than what we think it is. That God's grace is bigger than we know. And that we live out every moment of our life in the care and protection of God. And it tells us more. Jesus came proclaiming the time has come, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the gospel. And this is meant to ease our anxiety, not only about the trouble with this life, but also about our trouble regarding our mortality. The kingdom of God is bigger than we know. It is infinitely bigger than we know. Not only does a small seed turn into something bigger than this life, but this life itself is only a small illustration of what is coming. I wonder if we can hear it. I wonder if when we read this simple story, it is something that we can be satisfied with in the few minutes that we listen to the reading of it. Or if it's best that we walk out thinking about meaning, looking around at the world of nature, maybe even just looking at the trees themselves, thinking about what Jesus is trying to tell us about eternal life, as well as about mortal, earthly life. I wonder if you can understand also that Jesus is talking about ourselves. Although, if anyone is in Christ, that person is a new creature. The old is gone. The new has come. The seed has been planted and it has blossomed forth. Think of that. We are not meant to be disturbed about life. We are meant to be encouraged. We are meant to be aware that not one of our problems gets the final word because of all of our problems, as well as all of our blessings are swallowed up in this new life. Things are not what they seem. There are other stories in the Bible that share with us the same kind of message. One of the Old Testament readings of this week, for instance, was the story about the prophet Samuel, who went to the house of Jesse to anoint for Israel a new king. And when Jesse paraded before him his oldest son, Samuel thought to himself, this one looks good, has to be the right one. But the Spirit said no. And Jesse had seven sons, and they all came before Samuel, and there was something troubled in Samuel's spirit, and he said, no, is there another? And so they finally, at long last, brought the youngest one in from the fields where he had been tending sheep. I'm sure he didn't look like us at the time, but whatever it is that stirred in Samuel's spirit, that said, things are not always what they seem. And he didn't hesitate to anoint David, who became Israel's great king. So take heart. Everything that happens in life can teach us about this great difference between the small seed and the great tree. It can teach us to have faith. When we feel like in our lives we are the seed that is being planted in the ground, it can teach us to have hope for our future, for the future of the world, a hope that's not based on human competence, for which, quite frankly, we see too little evidence, but a hope that is generated out of God's grace, which raised up Jesus from the dead. We can be encouraged when troubles come in this life, but we can also be encouraged when, for whatever reason, we're not thinking so much about this life, but we're thinking about the next. We're thinking about our future. We're thinking about heaven. And I'm not saying that everything that happens is God's will. But I am saying that there is nothing that happens that is beyond the power of God's grace to redeem it. God's grace to us is like a mustard seed, which when planted turns into the largest of all garden plants with a whole biosystem in its branches. We are meant to see that as an encouragement and as a way of lessening our anxiety to the example, both in this life and as we look forward to the next. I do say that very often it is troubling times that cause us to start thinking. Troubling times have served as a seedbed for great insight, such as the warning that this parable shares with us. It tells us that what is mortal turns into what is immortal, that what is perishable puts off its perishability and puts on what is imperishable. And when it does, when that happens, I'm putting the stars in the sky for as a good illustration. Not even the truth. And for this we can be thankful. And I suppose on our walks, when we walk past them, we can remember about the seeds that produce these great things. Shall we pray? Lord Jesus, we are thankful for the parable about the seed and the tree. We pray that we would be reminded that our lives started as a small seed, but that they will end up in your presence. Encourage us when we are discouraged. Ease our anxiety. Let us be reminded by the natural world around us the power of your grace. In Christ's name. Amen. Let us stand and sing our song of dedication this morning, which is a great hymn about God's faithfulness. Number 37, Praise Thy Faithfulness.
grace that God send us forth from this place in the firm knowledge of your faithfulness, in the knowledge that there is no situation in our life that is beyond the reach of your grace, and that not even death, not even sin, can keep us from eternal life. In Christ's name. Amen.